Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Congress is gridlocked again and nearing the holiday recess, this time over extending the payroll tax cut and long-term unemployment insurance into 2012. Today and tomorrow, we'll get the views of a Democrat and Republican from our local congressional delegation. Tomorrow, it's Republican Congressman Scott Garrett of New Jersey, but right now, it's Democratic U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York. Thanks for coming on, Senator. Welcome back.
Hi, how are you? It's great to be on.
It's great to have you. So before we get to the payroll tax and unemployment benefits, we see you are sponsoring some bipartisan legislation to deal with insider trading by members of Congress. Now, is it true that Congress can trade on privileged information that private citizens can't?
Apparently so. Like millions of Americans all across the country, I was very surprised to learn that insider trading by members of Congress, their family or staff using this kind of non-public information gained through the congressional work is not clearly or expressly prohibited by the law or the rules of Congress.
That seems so strange.
It's strange.
Something that is strange. Illegal for all, American citizens would somehow not be because it's not expressly prohibited.
Well, there's legal reasons for it, but it just doesn't make sense. Because at the end of the day, if you are a member of Congress and you have access to non-public information because of your job, you should not be able to go home and buy or sell stocks and benefit from that. So, for example, you're on a committee and you know that some company is about to receive an important federal contract. You shouldn't be able to go then buy that company's stock so you make a bazillion dollars. It's just not right. So we're going to try to do away with it, and we have a great bill that's being worked on in the Senate today. It's got 20 co-sponsors. It's already bipartisan. That's going to make it illegal, absolutely illegal for members of Congress to benefit from this non-public information.
Now, this has been going on forever, right, until 60 Minutes blew the whistle on it?
Yes, and, you know, some of the experts in our hearing said, no, insider trading laws apply to everybody. But the reality is that they have never prosecuted these kinds of cases, so there obviously is something wrong with the way the law is written. Right now, it's based in having a fiduciary duty when you have this kind of information. And so what we want to do is apply that fiduciary duty also to members of Congress. So the typical example is the lawyer who knows about the deal, then buys stock before the deal closes. That's the typical insider trading case. We don't have a specific fiduciary duty to any company, but what we want to say is you have a fiduciary duty to the public, and that is enough to say you cannot then turn around and trade on information that only you have because of your job. And so we want to make it consistent with all the other laws on insider trading.
Now, it would seem that this would be something that nobody could oppose, right?
Because who could, I think that's right. That's
who
why
could
I think
say
we're
that?
Going to be successful.
But will it be?
I think it will. Momentum is growing every single day, and because we already have good bipartisan support, we have four Republican senators on my bill already. We already had our hearing in the Senate. They're going to mark up a revised version that basically took into account all the information we learned from the hearing. We're going to have a revised bill that's going to be marked up this week. So I think it's moving. I think we will get a vote on the Senate. I think people would be very hard-pressed to vote against this. And so then if we can pass it out of the Senate on a bipartisan basis, it puts real pressure on the House to do the same.
Is this something that a lot of members of Congress have benefited from?
I don't know. I have no idea. I just know the report that 60 Minutes made. But what this will do is just clarify the issue. And we want it to apply to the members, their spouses, their families, and their staff. We don't want, you know, some young staffer not to know that this is wrong. We're going to make it clear so everybody knows it's wrong. And the other thing that's so important here is that, you know, people have lost faith in Congress. They've lost faith in Washington. They don't believe it works. They know it's broken. And something like this is absurd. It just goes to people's view that those members of Congress, they're not like us, they don't follow the same rules, and they're not doing the people's job. So I think this is the kind of thing that could restore that confidence, even just a little bit, to say, of course we play by the same rules, and of course we're held to the same standard. And so I think it's important, not just for this particular legislation, but for America as a whole.
Now, on things that seems like everybody supports, the payroll tax cut and the extension of unemployment benefits, these are actually in jeopardy right now because of the Republicans are objecting to the way the Democrats want to pay for the bill.
Correct.
And the Democrats are and then want to add on a provision about the Keystone Pipeline from
right.
Canada.
Right.
So that is NASDAQ. Now, first of all, on this Keystone Pipeline, would you vote for a tax cut bill if it has the pipeline in it?
No, I think it's a terrible idea. I'm very concerned about it. And you know, there's been this constant effort to roll back EPA protections and roll back the quality of the air we breathe, the quality of the water we drink. And we have to demand more from our elected leaders. We cannot have poisons being emitted straight into the environment. We cannot take environmental degradation as the price for economic growth. It's just not true. It's a false choice. We can create opportunities for job creation that don't put our environment at risk. And a lot of us have a lot of concerns about the pipeline. I think it's a poison pill. I think they're trying to introduce it as a reason for it to fail. But, you know, to the point here, you know, we shouldn't be trying to score political points here. America is suffering. The economy is not strong. We have to build the economy. We have to make sure small business and big businesses have the tools they need to create those important jobs. And, you know, to the point of the payroll tax cut, we have to get this done because we just can't allow taxes to increase by an average of $1,000 for 160 million hardworking Americans. And so I feel like we have to come together, take the poison pills out of the bill, focus on the middle class. Middle class families are struggling, and putting another $1,000 of taxes onto their bill at the end of the year is not the way to do it. So we need to protect the middle class and fight for the middle class. And I think that's a core value Democrats and Republicans can share, and that's why I'm very hopeful that we can come around that value and get this done and not try to do it through cheap political points.
Now, the Republicans say, oh, well, you're trying to score a cheap political point by getting this to be paid for by a tax on the rich.
Well, hopefully we can find a pay-for that people will agree on. I think it's really important that we pass this. I think the way we're paying for it is legitimate and modest. But if we can't pass it with that, then I think we just have to keep working at it. I think it's really important that we pass this. And I also think it's important that we pass the unemployment insurance. You've got families who have been out of work for a long time through no fault of their own, and they are struggling. And so we need to make sure that we don't continue to put more families at risk.
On the payroll tax, I mean, this is a special tax that goes to Social Security, which is going to be running out of money. So why does it even make sense?
Well, it's how we fund Social Security. People all pay in about up to the first 100,000 of their income, about 6%, and we reduce that number to put more money back into the hands of middle-class families. We also have the employer paying money into Social Security. So some of the questions we've talked about over the last year was, how do we reform and strengthen Social Security? And one idea is changing the framework of who pays in at how much. You know, one idea is lowering the rate you pay in for the first $100,000, but then applying that rate for all income levels. That's one example of making it more progressive, but shoring it up. So those are the kinds of things we will be debating, and I think it's the right kind of thing to debate because we want to lower taxes for middle-class families.
You say, okay, well, if they're not going to pay for it with a tax on the wealthy, we're going to pay for it with something else. But that's exactly the sticking point, isn't it? You know, because there isn't something easily available, you know, that you can go out and cut that's going to pay for this.
Well, there's nothing easy, but there are opportunities out there. So, for example, you know, we just passed a bill that I fought very hard for over the last couple of years to help our young veterans, our young vets, guys coming, men and women coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, who are under 25, have the highest unemployment rate of any group right now that we're tracking. 20% unemployment right now. It's terrible. So we just passed a bill in the Senate on a bipartisan basis to give employers tax cuts and tax credits if they go the extra mile to find these young vets and hire them. And frankly, all vets since 9/11. And that we paid for with some other reforms. So I feel that you can find your way to pay for it. You just have to work hard to bring people to the table in a bipartisan basis from the beginning.
Like what?
Well, one pay for example, that we used to pass the 9/11 health bill, and it's fairly complex, but it worked. When another country, another nation, gets a procurement contract from the United States, so we ask them to build something, we ask these countries to sign our typical procurement agreement. Well, some countries won't sign it, and they still get procurement contracts. So what we did was for those countries, like Saudi Arabia, we gave them a 2% fee to pay for it. That was worth $4 billion, and that is how we paid for the 9/11 health bill. So you have to work hard to find these pay-fors, and when you find one, you don't tell everybody on a news channel, and so other people will take it. You work it out in advance, and then you work with your Republicans and say, this is going to be the pay-for, we're going to use it for this reason, and then you launch your effort. And that's what we did with the 9/11 health bill.
So is that in the works now, to have such pay-fors?
I'm sure we are working on ways to pay for things that can achieve bipartisan support, because the bottom line is the middle class cannot afford this tax hike. We have to fight for the middle class, and that is a core American value that I think all of us share.
So, all right. Senator Gillibrand, would you bet $10,000 that this will be resolved before you go home?
Well, I don't have $10,000 to bet with you, but I will bet you a nice cup of coffee.
You think it will be resolved?
I do. I'm very hopeful. And, you know, this is the holiday season, and, you know, sometimes we see Christmas miracles, and sometimes we see people of goodwill coming together. I'm hoping this is the issue that we come together over during this holiday time.
All right. Before you go, another bipartisan bill that you have is with Long Island Congressman Peter King on first responder communications.
Yes.
What's the issue on that?
Well, you know, we all know what happened on 9/11, and, you know, we had our heroes racing up those towers when everyone else was coming down, and we weren't able to communicate well with them. There was not an ability for the state, local, and federal level to talk in one communication system, and the bottom line is lives were lost. Lives that need not have been lost were lost because we just couldn't talk to each other. And so the 9/11 Commission made a series of recommendations about what would it take to prevent some of the deaths of another 9/11 attack. What would we do to prevent the terrorism? What would we do to prevent any of the missteps that happened, and how can we create a safer environment to be able to handle any kind of terrorist attack or any kind of natural disaster. One of the recommendations was you need interoperability. You need local, state, and federal to be able to talk on the same airwaves and be efficient and effective in communication. So we want to relegate 10 megahertz on, it's called the D block, in our communications network just for first responders. And to do that, we want to auction off all the available spectrum that's available and consolidate this 10 megahertz D block just for first responders. And that auction will raise a lot of money, tens of billions of dollars. And so that money would be spent to build the infrastructure to allow the state, federal, and local first responders to all have equipment that's effective. You know, there's no
reason
why.
Who's opposed to that?
What? Sorry, go ahead.
Who's opposed to that?
Some of the House Republicans just don't want to spend the money to build the infrastructure. They are okay with auctioning off the spectrum, and even some are okay with setting aside a certain amount, but they want to put the money towards something else. They don't want it to be spent on building the infrastructure. So we're working very hard. Pete King's working hard in the House to get it done. We don't need to spend all of the money that we raise. In fact, there'll be more than $6 billion left over just to go to deficit reduction. What's being debated right now...
Could you pay for the tax cut with that?
You could pay for the tax cut with that. There's your idea right there. I don't know what the total amount for the payroll tax cut is, though, if $6 billion is enough.
Yeah, it might be small.
Yeah, but that's exactly the kind of thing. And so what we would love to do is get this D block done and relegate and really earmark the money for the infrastructure. We don't want local law enforcement to have to pay for this.
You're trying to get it done by the end of the year?
Yes. Well, the end of the year or the next moving bill. It could, you know, go with an omnibus or a continuing resolutions or, you know, any of the moving legislation we could put this to. Any tax reform bill we could put it to because it's a great pay for. Again, it generates $6 billion extra on top of all the other money that you'd spend building the infrastructure. Right now, the House is trying to shave back how much we put towards the infrastructure down to $4 billion. You know, that's something we can at least begin to address and see how much do we need to get this up and running. But I think there's room for agreement here, and I'm optimistic that we're going to get it done because it's really important for national security. And like Commissioner Kelly says, a kid with a smartphone should not have better technology than our law enforcement and first responders.
No, probably not.
They should be able to download, you know, maps and operations and terrorist reports just as quickly as anybody can download from an internet search.
All right, I know that you have to go. So finally today, Secret Santa gifts are being distributed throughout the Senate. Did you get yours?
I got my gift. I'm ready to give my gift to my secret Santa.
Now, what was your gift?
Well, it's an ornament, I will tell you. Our limit was $5, so I bought an ornament for this particular senator's favorite sports team.
And what did you get?
Well, I can't tell you, because the one rule about Secret Santa is that you don't talk about Secret Santa.
No, did you receive? What did you receive?
Oh, I don't know yet. It's the party tonight.
Oh, you haven't. Oh, I
tonight.
See.
Yes, I've got my gift ready. I think my senator will be very excited by the gift because he's an avid sportsman and it's his favorite sports team. But I'll have to wait tonight.
And is this something that helps people get agreement on, you know, all these final things ending up at the end of the year?
I don't know, but I do think, though, that if members of Congress did spend a little more free time together and got to know each other, they'd be less likely to be so aggressive and so negative while giving their speeches on the Senate floor. So I think doing things together, even if they're social, can have a positive effect.
All right. Well, we'll be looking forward to finding out what your secret Santa gift was, and if you can guess who gave it to you, and we will follow up on our political website with that. It's a freecountry.org. Thanks so much, Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. We'll be speaking with you, and we'll be following at the end of the year to see how this legislation all shakes out. When we come back, we will be looking at crime in New York and why it's dropped, and also things to love about New York. Maybe the drop in crime is one of them. We'll be right back after this.